Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, Ian and I diving into a health and supplements type business and working out the best ways to go through the Mojo process for optimizing this type of business. So let's get started. Hi, Ian, how are you?
Hi, Mark. Very well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Today we thought we'd cover health supplements and selling those online in a commerce site. It's obviously a huge market, especially in the UK. And we've worked with quite a few different types of health supplements for different niches in the market. So we thought we'd go through the Mojo process. Do you want to kick off with the market square test, Ian?
Well, yeah, just as an overall, I think the attractiveness of selling health supplements online, and as a general step back, is the margins tend to be quite high, the lifetime customer value tends to be very high, and they're easy to post out. So obviously, because people come back and buy them again and again and again, because they like them, and they get it, well, addicted is the wrong word, but it becomes part of their life. And consequently, so you've got a product that has got good lifetime customer value, naturally, good margin, and it's easy to post. And the stats look quite phenomenal. If you get it right, it is not unheard of to have conversion rates of over 15% on your e-commerce site.
Because people, it's very habit-forming, isn't it? People get used to having that supplement, and they feel that they need it, and it helps them, and it fixes the job to be done.
Yeah,
and
no one else can do it better, because they go, well, this is what I use. Once you get the customer using your health supplement products, and it could be beauty related. The beauty is very similar, beauty related type products. It's an amazing type of business in a way if you get it right. You can get conversion rates of 15%, and it's the gain here. It's all about buying the customer's loyalty and how far you need to go to get that. Because once you get them in, you've cracked it. I mean, it's like contact lenses is a very similar one. And we had a client who was doing vaping, which is obviously not exactly the same as health supplements, but the metrics look very similar. The e-cigarette type refills, they were getting conversion rates of I think it was 18.1%.
Yeah.
So that's just unreal. Now, obviously, the average order value is much, much lower. You're probably talking about £8-9, but I mean, it doesn't need to be that low. Actually, it can be much higher, can't it? But
yeah, well, you can then work on that with the right upsells and the right upsell architecture as well. So, I mean, it comes down to habit forming. So these businesses are, you need to understand your lifetime customer value, because if you understand your lifetime customer value, you can understand exactly how much you can spend to recruit a customer, and then you can build, it's like building a snowball, isn't it? I mean, I was working with a skincare company here in Auckland, I think a couple of years ago, and they did something with Air New Zealand about 15 years before that, and they were still having customers from that time who still use their skincare, because that was pretty much what was carrying them forward. Was that huge?
That's amazing, isn't it? If you think about that, you get these, you do a big push early on in the launch of these skincare or health supplement type brands, and you get these customers for 10 years. Coming back every month. I mean, it's phenomenal, which is why it's such a huge industry, and why it's fascinating to break it down how you do it and the most successful strategies. So number one, it is an amazing type of business, isn't it?
Yeah, if you get it right. Good, but obviously, it is competitive. It is competitive.
Yeah.
So a lot of people realize that. I mean, a lot of people are going and formulating their own supplements and putting it up there and expecting to do well. But there's obviously certain things you have to do. So that brings us to the market square. So if you're thinking you go into a market square test, you're going into a market square and everybody's selling the same supplement, you know, what would make people come to your store rather than somewhere else?
Mm.
And
well,
credibility.
There's one big word. I was going to build it up then.
Oh, sorry.
You just came out with it.
It's because it's on our sheet.
Yeah, well, we did write a little piece of paper before this. No, we're not. We just, this is just off the cuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it pretty much was. I was making a juice in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then we said, no, but the big thing about this is the credibility.
Well, build it up.
Well, you've stolen it. I can't. I have to say it. So it's credibility.
Yeah. But
without credibility, nothing will work.
Yeah.
Here, it doesn't matter what your price point is, your offer architecture, you know, your scarcity, your urgency. Nothing's going to work. You have to have credibility. Mm. So you've got to focus on that more than anything.
Yeah. So you'll see a lot of credibility. You see a lot of celebrity use. You see a lot of authority. You'll see a lot of been there, this is my journey, this is I was where you were kind of type stories, because people buy into that. And I think, again, the most important thing is the voice of the person who's selling the product, selling the supplements, because people buy into the story. You see it with weight loss, don't you, a lot of the time. And people believe people who were exactly where they were, and then they've made a transformation, rather than someone who's like always been thin. It's just like, well, what do you know about?
Yeah, they want the results, don't they? It's the classic before and after scenario. That's what they're looking at, isn't it?
Well, if you're trying to do, if you're trying to do anything, you want to find someone who's done what you're doing, and you just want to kind of plug your umbilical cord into them and kind of go, tell me exactly what to do next. And then it becomes less about the supplements and more about, I'm just going to do what X, Y, Z says. And then I'll have the same results, because I've got to a point where I can't do it myself. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so therefore, you know, I've tried on my own for so long. Now I just
tried
want to
everything.
Find an expert, and I'm just going to do exactly whatever they said. So what is it? So that's what you're in the market square. That's what people are looking for. They're looking for that authority and that voice and that following as well, because they want to see other people who are doing the same thing. So
yeah, totally.
And now then, so that's kind of how to get them to your store in the first place. So in the market square.
Yeah.
And then the next O on the mojo is the objections. So the key anxieties around what people are worried about when they come to your store. So do you want to talk about that a little bit, Ian?
Well, I mean, the main anxiety is will it work? You know, is this actually going to do what I want it to do? I mean, it might be, you know, it might be collagen drink, or it might be, you know, vitamins, or it might be, you know, matcha type tea or green tea, you know, capsules, whatever it might be. You want quality of ingredients, don't you?
Mm.
You want to believe that actually, you know, it's just as good as it says it's going to be.
Yeah. So there's a lot of difference in the different supplements, but people will obviously, you know, you'll go and look at the market and you'll go and look at the reviews and you'll go and see what people are worried about. And a lot of the time it's about whether or not this will work specifically for me. So let's say I'm overweight and I see somebody and I see that person, well, she's a woman, I'm a man. Is this going to work exactly for me? So therefore, what you'd want on the website is a selection device on the homepage or wherever.
And I think a lot of products are the same. You know, they might have sort of general ones, but I think you're absolutely right. It might be the same for the man and the same for the woman, but if you create a page that is specifically with, you know, that's focusing on the woman's side, and a different one for the men, but it's the same product, that's adding credibility, isn't it?
Yeah, because you can talk exactly to that need, you know. And if you're trying to have a homepage that deals with everybody, And then, you know, there's someone's, a mother's looking at this for their children, or you know, a man, an elderly man is looking at that. You're going to have a different message. And if you can select those people and say, well, who are you? What are you looking for? And take them to that specific sales page, then you can have specific testimonials for that person. You can have specific offers for that person. You can put a bundle together that makes more sense for that person, you know, and it works. It works so much better. So it's uncovering the anxieties for that individual, and then dealing with those specifically. You know, you see like TripAdvisor and those kind of people, when you look at the reviews, they go, do you want to see all the reviews from families, or do you want to see all the reviews from business people? And that's a very powerful way of kind of trying to work out if that hotel is going to be okay for your specific purpose.
Yeah, that's mainly it. I think the market square test and the objections is very much around credibility. You know, and is it going to work?
Yeah, and then you will uncover certain objections specific to your supplements. You know, because there might be some things like, you know, when I was working with someone who sold resveratrol, there were certain people who were saying, "Oh, resveratrol causes this and causes that," and so you might want to. You know, deal with those objections in a certain way. If there might be certain kind of worries that people have about taking a specific thing, and if you can get someone in authority who they believe to say, well, actually, you know, this is the test and this is what's happened and this is why it's okay, then you can kind of overcome that anxiety. But it's really understanding what that is specific to the health thing you're trying to say. And you know, sometimes people think this might be a lot of money and it's a waste of time. You know, that might be the anxiety. It's just, you know, I'm just going to take these, I'm going to spend money and nothing's going to happen. So, you know, like if that's the anxiety, is how can you take that away? And you've got such a high margin, you can give guarantees, can't you? You can say, you know, 30-day money back guarantee, or if you don't see results, you don't feel better by this date, then
I think that's part of the offer architecture, that is.
But it can take the anxiety, can be you taking some of that risk for them, and by you taking some of that risk, you can sell a lot more. So once you find the anxiety, you might want to deal with it in a certain offer, you know, because the offer does tie into the anxiety as well.
Well, I think basically if you've got the it's credibility and offer architecture, really, because. Yeah. You know, the credibility is this going to do what I think it's going to do? And if you get that right, if you get that credibility right, then everything else almost just takes care of itself. You know, they're not going to be bothered about, is it free delivery or can I get it tomorrow or at this stage?
No.
Because without credibility, they'll want it. If the credibility is good enough, they'll put up with it. They'll pay whatever price you want to charge.
Yeah,
you know, they'll put it with the X delivery truck. It doesn't matter. You've got that because they have to have it. They want it.
And people will pay more money for exactly the same thing just because it's been done by that authority, because they will think, well, perhaps there's a different way of putting it together, and maybe it's the powders are done differently or whatever. They will buy into the story because they want to do exactly what they did, and they don't know the difference. They don't care about.
No.
That they go, oh well, I could do that, you know, and that because that's what they've done before. So I've tried to do it on the cheap and didn't work, and I just want to just do this exact thing. So then we come to the J in the mojo, which is the job to be done. And
I mean, this is very important from a marketing perspective, isn't it? Because this is what you're selling, isn't it? You're selling the end, you know, what you'd be able to do.
Yeah. And it's what is always key with the job to be done is to kind of think about how your customer would be validated that the job was done. So let's say they had eczema and they wanted to get rid of the eczema by taking a supplement or doing some kind of protocol or something like that. How would they know it's completely done? And probably it's not just about the eczema going, but it's like they obviously want to get rid of the eczema because it stops them doing something. So maybe if they have eczema on the face, they don't feel comfortable about going out to a restaurant or something like that, or going out to see their friends. And then suddenly they'll know it's done. The job's actually done is when they're out with their friends and they feel comfortable. And that might be the validation that they actually want, rather than say, oh, it's just going to get rid of your eczema. The actual job is what the limitation, the negative thing, that negative health thing is stopping them doing in their life. So in order to show the job to be done, we need to take, rather than just showing that the skin is clear, we actually need to show that person enjoying the things that they couldn't do before, because that is not a lot more powerful. And we can do that with imagery and the freedom to do stuff. And, you know, you see that on TV adverts all the time, because they just take it that further step. Whereas I think in e-commerce, sometimes we don't really, obviously you need to show the before and afters, like physical results, but at the same time, you need to build that vision of what this can do in the future. And this is what you will be doing, because that's what people are buying ultimately.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It really helps with the marketing, setting the, well, that's what you're marketing. Ultimately, your images, that's what they should be. Your images should be the job to be done. Mm. What allows you, what job you allows you to get done.
And also another part of the job to be done that's always important that I talk about is the trigger. So what you want to understand is that the job that person wants to get done, and also what is the trigger that makes them decide to get it done? Because you want to dive into your existing customers and you want to ask them not only like what you're trying to do and what would happen if you did fix this. So that's the ultimate job. But what made you suddenly decide to actually do something about it? Because that's really key. Because if you can understand the trigger might have been, a family member saying, oh, you can't wear that because you've eczema, or you can't do that. Or, you know, what is it that is a trigger in their mind? Because if we understand the trigger, and it's common across 80% of the customer, we can then understand where those customers will be when they trigger, or what mindset there will be, because we want to be pacing them in our advertising and saying, we are with you at this point. You've just been triggered. We know what it is, and we can talk to you in that language. Mm. And then
what's
we
the
can
final
take them
thing
to the,
that made you act.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is really, really key, because otherwise you'll just get customers rocking up and buying and you'll think, well, that's good, but how did that happen? I mean, I'm almost, I don't have control over the customers coming in because I don't know what the trigger is. And therefore, if I can find the trigger, I can understand where those people are going to be. You might be able to say, well, when people trigger, they're always on this website, or they're always doing this kind of thing, and they're always at this stage in their lives. Mm. And therefore, you can target those audiences on Facebook, and you can put that kind of copy into your AdWords ads. And that really allows you to harvest, I guess. Harvest.
Well,
that
it
potential.
Makes you, it's more credibility as well, as saying that you understand, you empathize with the customer.
Yeah.
And what's happening, isn't it?
Yeah. And then, so that is really key. And then, of course, the last O, which is the offer architecture. And we always talk about the offer architecture stool, one of them being, you know, desirability, which is kind of what we talked a little bit already, but it's making people want to see it. So it's kind of product images. There's the before and after, and there's the after and the.
Well, it's convincing. We always say it's the desirability or convincibility that this product is going to want it. You know, you've got to convince them that they want to be able to go and buy it from you.
Yeah. And then the other leg of the stool is customer service. And I think in this case, because you've got the margin, you can take a lot of the risk that the consumer is facing in this transaction, especially if you know that what your lifetime customer value is. And you might see your customer lifetime value might be, you know, 600 quid, but the first sale might be only like £30. But if you know on average that a customer's worth to you like 600 quid, you can actually take a loss on that first sale, as long as you know that you're recruiting the right people. So you can say
that the maths here is very much understanding the lifetime customer value, and then and then using that, you know, because you know you don't want to be looking at making a profit on the first sale if you know that this customer's going to come back and buy 8 times in a year.
Yeah,
I mean, you'd go much further, much deeper,
because a lot of your competitors will just be looking at AdWords, because AdWords and Facebook, and they all are configured to show you your return on advertised spend. And if it's negative, people will go, oh, well, we can't do that one. We'll cut that advert. Yeah. But if you know your lifetime customer value and they don't, you could just go and completely mop up that market. Yeah. Because
exactly.
And it can be scary though at first, because you don't know what your lifetime customer value is going
to
be.
Well, you've got to have you've got to be able to track that. You've got to understand that. Mm. That's true. But you've also got to have a mechanism that encourages lifetime customer value too.
Mm.
You know, and we've been looking a lot at the subscription type models for clients over the past year or two, because obviously they're really booming, aren't they? HelloFresh and Gusto and all these kind of, you know, subscription type business. They're just flying, aren't they? They're really exciting.
Mm.
And how they work. I mean, they're basically, it's just understanding the lifetime customer value. And they, you know, they do not aim to make a profit on the first purchase.
No, you know, and it's such a beautiful add-on to your business, the subscription. It's like this kind of rocket fuel, isn't it? That you can have. And I was talking to a coffee seller in Oxford last week, and he sells obviously coffee subscriptions, and you can buy it one off, but it was just a case of kind of like bribing people to come onto the subscription to make it kind of obvious that, well, I could buy it one, you know, I could pay 50 quid for that coffee, but if I actually subscribe, I get it for £10, and then, oh, I could cancel at any time, which I might or might not do. And they know that on average people don't cancel.
Yeah.
So therefore it is worth doing.
And look at
Naked Wines. Naked Wines is the same kind of
the
concept.
Whole business.
Yeah.
I think the lifetime customer value is amazing. And there's lots of, you know, the whole customer flow around that. How you push that at the point of purchase? Do you incentivize them on the product page, on the basket, on the checkout? I mean, I would. And then if they don't go for that, then you have a whole email series of things.
Yeah.
That encourage them to go for the subscription.
Yeah.
That whole thing needs mapping out. If you get it right, I mean, Christ, this is so exciting with businesses.
And also, if the lifetime value is high enough, there's no reason why you can't ring them up. And you say, look, I see you bought one off, and actually we are, you know, we are doing a special offer on this, and you can upsell them into a subscription because it might be worth your while. Because if you know your lifetime customer value is like £1,000, you know, you can afford to ring people up and say, actually, you're going to miss out on this, and this. Do you want to go on the subscription? You can just cancel at any time. It's really easy, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but you've got to take the risk away, haven't you?
Mm.
And that's, you know, that the offer architecture is, I mean, actually, before you've even got the sale, I mean, think, you know, you're basically saying you have to take away the risk. You've got to take away the risk that it's not going to suit them.
Mm.
So you just go, this is a no-brainer. You just got to make it a no-brainer for them to start.
Yeah, and like a lot of supplement people make this mistake of saying, oh, if you've opened it, you can't return it and you can't do that stuff. And it's like, well, as the point of sale, so look, even if it's opened, you can return it because, you know, that will actually allow a lot more people to buy it. And probably the amount of people that will return it opened are probably very few anyway.
Oh, God, and you know, this, you think about the opportunity you've got with this lifetime customer value. That, I mean, you'd be fooled. You must never think that a return is a product cost. It's a marketing cost.
Yeah.
Because if you're saying, hey, look, look at all these people that have benefited from this. We know you're going to love it. If there's for some reason you don't, you know, you bring it back at any time, even after a 6 months.
Mm.
It doesn't matter. We know you're going to love it.
Yeah.
Because of the potential incredibleness of how repeat subscription based business, and that's probably what we should have said, rather than calling it a health supplement business, we should be calling it a health subscription based business, because that's far more relevant to what we're talking about. And I think a health supplement business has a slightly negative connotation.
Well, the supplement businesses are good businesses. It's just people find, you know, things that help certain things, and they do it. They're not all subscription. And I think that if you are not doing subscription, then the way we've made money for people in the past is we found the right upsell architecture to increase the average order value that has allowed them to recruit a lot more customers.
Mm.
You know,
and we have 3 for 2 and things like that, mix and match.
And also like little upsells on the product options on the product page, and then
go bigger, sweetie
page thing, or even, you know, add another one of these to your order. Because with supplements, it's often the upsell is the same thing, but for slightly less cost. Yeah. And that works. That works.
There's so many different ways to get the average order value higher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're beautiful businesses, really, actually.
Yeah. I mean, we've done a lot with those kind of bodybuilding supplement ones before, like the protein, things like that. And the good things about that is that the more people you sold, even the upsells, the more people actually consumed of it because they had it and they bought it from you rather than someone else. And so they were great businesses. And the good thing about supplement businesses is if you build them up, there's a market there for people buy supplement businesses. People are very willing to invest in
them. Because there's value because of the lifetime customer value.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why these subscription-based businesses are being valued on the number of the members, not anything to do with the profit they're making. It's about the numbers of repeat business that they've got.
If you think about it, I think the most exits have actually come from supplement businesses we've worked with. A lot of people have built them up and sold them in quite quick times as well. You know, it's only in about 18 months.
Very, very marketable, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So it's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. Mm. So the only thing of the offer we have, I mean, basically is the reason why to buy today. And that is always the reason why offers, isn't it? So you want to be having that fresh offer that's coming out all the time that doesn't sound stale, which is essentially probably the same deal underneath it, but a different reason why you're offering it. So, you know, with whatever supplement you're doing, it's going to be around a certain niche or feel. And so that you want to tie it into something that is mainstream that people are thinking about. So, you know, let's say it's sports supplements, obviously Olympics and, you know, World Cups and things like that would make sense. And, but if it's weight loss, then you want to tie it into something that's more consumer related. You always just want to have a reason why you're doing an offer rather than just saying, oh, it's 15% off today. It's like boring. It's like, why are you doing it? And that's where you get a bit creative. You want to put a bit of entertainment on top of it because I think one thing I wanted to say about offers is because some people say, oh, I never want a discount, never want to do anything. And you think about the whole affiliate marketing thing and all the internet things that there's like, they will never talk about you, any of those sites, unless you have a deal, because you're not giving them anything to talk about. You know, no one's going to go and post you on like Mumsnet and say, oh, Ian Hammersley's shop's selling his products for the normal price. Go and buy some products from me in Hammersley's shop.
Well, and unless we said that, you know, the one of the mechanisms, if you have the most unbelievable product that you've got the only world patent that solves, you know, eczema for babies and no one can buy it other than from you. Well, and that's so rare that we come across.
Yeah.
That you cannot rely upon that.
Yeah.
Can you?
I mean, there are companies out there. We've got one I'm working with called Gloop, and he's got a gel that helps elderly people and children take their medicine. Mm. So it's like a gel that you have that helps
them
take
their pills.
So that case, it's kind of like someone would actually say, oh, you should go and look at Gloop because, you know, they're on a forum and someone's struggling with it. Someone would recommend that because their offer architecture is that they're the only one selling it.
Yeah.
So that would work there. But you've got to have a story so someone to say, oh, I've got this problem. Someone's talking on a forum or on a, you know, a consumer site. And if they just say, well, oh, go and buy your resveratrol tablets from here. And it's like, so what? You know, why is that going to motivate people to do it? Because then otherwise people are going to go, oh, I get mine from here and I get mine from here. And it's like, oh, well, so-and-so have got this, the deal on for Easter. It's a really good deal. You should check that out.
Yeah. Well, it's all about credibility, social proof, the story behind it. You know, without that, you're buggered.
Yeah. You know, it's less about, it's like less about the little thing you're selling. It's not about the little capsule or that what necessarily it looks like. Because if you reduce it down to that, it's meaningless to people. It's about the story that they're going to achieve in their life. And it's, you know, everybody wants to have everything fixed by a pill, don't they? They want to take a pill, wake up in the morning and be rich, and successful and slim.
They all want the shortcut, don't they?
Shortcut. The easy way. And obviously you don't want to sell anything that's fraudulent. You want to be selling things that do actually make sense. And maybe if you're selling a supplement, but you know that in order for it to get to work and to actually achieve the thing, maybe they need to be doing other things. And you can kind of start bundling that up as a program. So like maybe the supplements are part of something. So yes, you take these supplements, yeah. but there's also, you need to listen to this recording 3 times a week.
Oh, there's loads of things like that.
This, and therefore you create this thing around it. So it becomes more than the sum of some of its parts. Yeah. It becomes a proper thing.
Yeah.
So yeah. one of the ladies on the mentoring group, she's doing hair loss supplements, and we're trying to create more of a program around it. And she's gradually building that up, because it needs to be more than just the physical product. And the good thing about information products bundling with it is that once you've written the information product, that value is there, and that value is available to everybody without you actually having to deliver anything else. It can be just done digitally. You know, you can say, oh, you buy this and you get access to this membership area and you get all this other stuff. And the great thing about that is you're not having to ship anything else, and it's just the same amount of value for everybody.
Yeah, but it adds a lot of value, doesn't it? This is how you use it. This is how you do it.
Yeah, like a community, like a Facebook community as well. You know, everybody who's buying the supplement is obviously struggling with the same thing. So you come in on a community, and in there's a doctor, and you can ask any questions about this. Or, you know, it suddenly becomes, oh, I'm going to buy that one because I'm not going to be left on my own with this. I'm actually going to be part of something. And they're just fantastic business models if you can get it right.
Yeah. Yeah. We should probably lay down because we've done so much work in this, we should probably lay down a blueprint.
Yeah.
To do it.
Yeah. I mean, well, the standard blueprint we've got actually works quite good for this kind of business, but there's certain peripherals where you need to focus a little bit more than other things. But it's like, if you break it down into the most simple elements, it's the lifetime customer value and it's the recruitment offer. So those two things you need to get right. So you work out how you were going to recruit, and then you need to work out how you're going to keep people on for as long as possible. And you need to know the maths behind both of those. Because then you can go and say to your either your marketing agencies or your people running your ads, you say, look, as long as you can recruit for under this level, I will give you as much money as you want, because that's just going to build my empire with it.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. It's just simple maths. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I think we'll finish there. We look forward to speaking to you all next week. Now, if you haven't got the book, please head on over to www.ecommercebook.co.uk and grab a copy of our book. It goes over a lot of the basics that we talk about in these podcasts and ties it all together. You'll also get some bonuses with that thing, with the book, which is some split tests we've been through. And you also have the option to go and get a kind of behind the scenes. What I've put together is behind the scenes of some top e-commerce sites and what actually like a multi-million pound store looks like from behind the scenes. And so you'll get to see that, because I think it's always good to have a vision of what you're trying to build towards. So anyway, have a good week, guys, and we'll speak to you all soon.
Cool. Thanks, guys.